Well, I'm excited to be here, and we got a special going on at the Rock Church tonight for
Black Friday.
Just want you all to know that salvation is free tonight. Tonight and for eternity, you can know Jesus. And you don't have to work, you don't have to pay anything, you don't have to clean yourself up. And that's just the way God set it up. God's so good. We're going to continue on. This is our Why Church series, and this is the third part of it. Different topics that some of the deacons here in Porovo and I kind of prayed and sought the Lord, and we're doing a site-specific series, and this is one of the topics, and it kind of fits with Thanksgiving, of course. That's why we went to do it. It's just why give thanks? You know, I personally have been challenged because I haven't prepared a message before on giving thanks for one thing, and as you brush by it, you might think, well, that's kind of a shallow topic. And as I dug in and really sought to find what God's word had to say, what he was speaking to me, I was really challenged to the point of realizing, you know, I'm not very good at this. this giving thanks. I take a lot of things for granted. I just really do. And maybe you're in the same boat. I just take a lot of things for granted. And I was seeking the Lord and really trying to see what Lord he might have for us and what he might have for me. I feel I stand here a little bit rebuked. God said, you've kind of missed the mark here. And this is a good weekend for me to be able to see what God has to say about thanks. So hopefully he'll use it in your life too. Because really, I don't know, as I found out, what's really meant for me is it's just, I thank you, Jesus, for your finished work on the cross. And just always come back to that. Is that, you know, I don't have to do anything special today. I don't have to be involved in religion or religiosity, or I don't have to be a good boy. Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And that I can be with him and I can have relationship with him. And I'm just kind of overcome by that. I'm just, me? Why me, God? Thank you. Thank you. It just brings us to a place of thanks. You know, we have much to be thankful for. We're recipients of God's amazing and indescribable salvation. We have God's word to teach us, correct us, guide us, and encourage us. We believe at this church this is God's word. The Bible is God's word. He's given it to us. And he speaks to us through his word. I'm so thankful for that. And in this place that we live, I have lots of Bibles at my house. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. It's God's word. And it's just available. I kind of take that for granted. We are temples of God, and his spirit indwells in us. I talked about that a couple of weeks ago, how we are God's temple now. And once we come to know him, he indwells us. His spirit actually lives in us. Just, it's miraculous. We know that God works all things together for good in our lives. That's a promise from God we get from Romans 8:28. We are members of Christ's body. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago about being together, the church. Caleb talked about how God has helped us to know how to love others because he loved us first. We have a continual access via prayer to the throne of God. We are loved by God with an unfailing love. We have overcome the evil one and will soon crush Satan under our feet. It says that in the Bible. We have passed from death to life and from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of God. If you're a believer, that's true for you now. You don't have to do any more. That's true for you right now. We have a glorious and eternal destiny awaiting for us in heaven. Man, there are blessings that apply to all Christians. They apply to you if you are a true believer in and a follower of Jesus Christ. Those things are all true. My goodness, I just ease back into those soft pink chairs and say, I have got it made. And you do. We really do. And I do. Our destiny is eternity. If you know Jesus, that's set in stone. That will not change. The rug will not be pulled out from under us. God promises us that when we die from this earth, we'll be with Jesus. I'm so thankful for that. Well, let's look at thanks a little bit. Webster's the thesaurus, I was looking up thankful, and synonyms for thankful are obliged, grateful, appreciative, and an antonym, which is the opposite, is thankless, ungrateful, resenting. And I even was thinking as I looked at this that, my goodness, I think maybe I kind of fall in between. I want to be, I am obliged, I'm grateful, appreciative, but does my life reflect that to my King, to God? I want it to. I want to grow in that area. I don't want to be thankless. I don't want to be ungrateful. I don't want to be resenting things, even if it's a traffic jam. There's things that just frustrate us. At least they do for me. Here's a good quote from Jerry Bridges. It says, thankfulness to God is a recognition that God, in his goodness and faithfulness, has provided for us and cared for us, both physically and spiritually. It is a recognition that we are totally dependent upon him, that all we are and have comes from God. So true. I think tonight, hopefully, we can position ourselves a little bit, maybe understand, maybe grow in humility a little bit, just to understand our position before a holy God. That he is God, and he loves us, and he wants the best for us. And we just need to keep our eyes, just like that song we sang, keep our eyes on Jesus. I'm going to pray one more time. I ask you, saints, to pray with me. Let's ask God to speak to us. God, I pray to you together with my brothers and sisters, and I ask you to speak to my heart, to our heart. Lord, I pray as we look at your word, your Bible, Father God, I pray just really light it up, illuminate it, God, so that we understand what you're saying to us, Lord. Not more than that, we want to not only understand it, but we want to put it into practice. We want to hear what you're saying, and we want to follow what you're telling us to do. And so we need your help in that. Oh, my goodness, Lord. So I pray you'd help us. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. So just three reasons to give thanks. And maybe you've already thought about this at the Thanksgiving table. I don't know. But here's a few things from God's word. Everything comes from God. Everything is his. Everything. Everything comes from God. I like this verse from James, chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. I like the New Living Translation for this particular verse. It says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. That is truth today. That is you, believer. You are his prized possession. You are. That's like a nice, warm hug. You're his prized possession. I know, I remember when my kids were littler, and this time of season had come around, and this whole holiday season, and we do get caught up in gift-giving, And that's a nice thing to do and a nice idea. And even in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says gifts make way for the giver. But it was when my kids were littler, they didn't have jobs and they didn't have money. So I would give them money and tell them they can go buy me a present. You know, like, here, I'll give you $5, and yes, I would like this particular item. And then their mother would take them and they'd get it. And when I got it, opened it up, it's like, oh, how'd you know that's what I wanted? And, you know, over the years, I would do that. I would help them by giving them money to buy presents for their mother or their siblings. And eventually, of course, last year, that had to stop. So we don't do that anymore. But I was their dad. I was their provider. I was the one that was teaching them. I was the one that was training them. I was the one that was loving them. I was the one that was trying to help them. I was the one that was trying to bless them during the holiday season so that they'd bless their mother and their brothers and sisters and their friends. And so basically, I was their father. And that's God's role for us. He gives us everything, all the money that's in your wallet, whether your stomach's full or empty right now. God, everything. This old building, everything. All this crazy madness from Black Friday where everybody's like, oh, I got to get the deal. It's all God's. And yeah, I think he wants us to be good stewards, and there's wisdom in shopping for a deal. Or I think ultimately we just got to come back to the thing that God, he is God, and we are not. And we need our dad, we need our father, we need his direction, we need humility to come before him and say, tell me, please, what do I do in this situation, or how do I do this, or how do I handle that, instead of just running off and doing our own thing. We need God. We see some examples in the Old Testament. There are just so many examples throughout the Bible. It's like the whole thing is just God giving himself glory. You know, our last segment of this series, number 8, will be Why Give God the Glory. And I'm really looking forward to that, because as I study his word and my relationship with him grows and blossoms, it's just all about him. I just want to give him the glory, and that's really what he created us for, just to reflect him, to give him glory. But in the Old Testament, we get some good examples, I think, of thankful hearts, of men and women just humbling themselves and saying, it's you, God, you did everything. One particular section of scripture is when David, I'm going to show you a few verses from Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 through 16. But I want to set the background for you a little bit. It's when David was planning to build a temple. So people were bringing him fine different things, gold and silver and wood and cloth and all these things that were hard to come by. People were bringing them to David, and he was collecting them. And then God tells David that, David, you're not going to build the temple. Your son Solomon is. And that's one thing about our loving God. He's the one in charge. And there's often times it doesn't turn out quite like we expect it. But in David's situation, he shows, I think, just an incredible apt for gratitude here. Because he wanted to build the temple. I don't think he's just like, oh, good, Solomon gets to build it. I don't want to. I'm tired fighting all these battles. No, I think he wanted to be a part of that. And God used him certainly to collect lots of different things for the actual construction, but then David doesn't get to build it, but he passes the baton. And this is just right when he's passing the baton. And he's just thanking God for providing everything that they will need to build the temple. It starts in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 10 and 11. We'll go all the way through 16. It says, therefore, David blessed the Lord in the presence of all the assembly. So he gathered everybody together and he blessed the Lord. He said, bless the Lord in the presence of all assembly. And David said, blessed are you, O Lord, the God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O God, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. It's like, you, God. It's you, God. I just love David's expression, and just in front of all the assembly, drawing all the people that were with him into worship. Just, it's you, God. Everybody, it's God. And he just continues on. Verse 12, both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. In your hand are power and might. And in your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. And now we thank you, our God, and praise your glorious name. Verse 14, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able thus to offer willingly? For all things come from you, and of your own have we given you. And of your own have we given you. For we are strangers before you and sojourners. as all our fathers were. Our days on the earth are like a shadow, and there is no abiding. O Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a house for your holy name comes from your hand and is all your own. I just appreciate the humility of David's heart. It's just, it comes from you, God. You gave it all. You provided everything, and we don't want to take credit. Because David could have, man, he did all kinds of things. God used him as a king and as a warrior to conquer different groups of people. And yet, it comes to a place of just humility. And I appreciate David's heart. And I think we can glean and learn from that. And I think we need to when we're thinking about Thanksgiving. The Psalms, much of them were written by David. And in the Psalms, Psalm 107 in particular, it is many of the Psalms are songs. And same with Psalm 107. And here again, we just see the continuation of David's heart. In 107, he says this in verse 8, in verse 15, in verse 21, verse 31. So I think this is the chorus. So all you musicians in the group, just put a tune to this. It's already written. God has written it. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. They repeat it again. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. David just adored God. And I don't know, I want to learn from people like that, from God's word. That, okay, I'm just maybe in a little glimpse, God, I think I'm beginning to understand the position you have for me, your son, for us as saints before a holy God. You are God, we're not, and we just want to listen to you and do what you say. Oftentimes we get that so confused. I like reading the Bible in a year, in the one-year plan, and I've been doing it for years and years, and maybe if you're reading that same plan, you'd be in the same place I am, and that's in Daniel. I would love to do a series through the book of Daniel, and I hope we do one day, because it is just chock full of so much, so much good stuff. But today, I was just reading, this morning, just reading about Daniel in the lion's den. He gets thrown in the lion's den, and he comes out. As you read through the book of Daniel, all kinds of different things come, and he's struggling. First, you begin the book, and they take their names away. Daniel's stripped of his name, becomes Meshach and Abednego. The different things he goes through, he went through the fiery furnace. He was thrown in the fiery furnace. There's different situations where they were going to kill all the satraps and all the people that would give the king advice if someone didn't interpret the dream that the king was having. And all of his advisors, they weren't able to do it, but God gave Daniel an opportunity to interpret the dream. And he does. And this is the first time. It actually happens two times, but the first time in chapter 2, verse 23, Daniel's just thanking God for showing him what needed to happen right at that time to how to interpret the king's dream. Now, it's not that Daniel was so special, that God's so special. He wanted to help Daniel in this situation. He says, to you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's matter. In that particular situation, the king brought Daniel before him and asked him to interpret the dream, and God revealed it to him, and he did. Now, further on in chapter 4, all these different things, it's fascinating to me as we read about Daniel, all these really hard things happen. And we see that in a number of different characters throughout the Bible, that really difficult situations come their way. You know, loving the Lord is not always a cakewalk. It's not always safe. Lots of times it's really hard. Definitely for Daniel, the different things that he went through. He must have thought, oh, what's next? What's going to happen next? But he always kept his eyes on God, and he was thankful each time the Lord brought him through, rather than just thinking, man, I pulled my tail out of this one. I got out of this one, didn't I? No, he knew who was leading and who was helping him every step of the way. Further on in Daniel, in chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, gets proud, and God deals with him. In chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is taking credit for all that's happening in his kingdom. His kingdom's growing, and he's successful, and Daniel's even been a part of it. But this King Nebuchadnezzar, he gets proud. And we see him walk through some things that God puts him in his place. So Nebuchadnezzar is basically saying, I am God. Rather than saying, God has done all this in my kingdom, he's basically saying, I look what I've done, worship me. And that's just like a really dumb thing to do. And that's what he did. Look at this verse 33. It says, immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. This is a second dream that Daniel interpreted for King Nebuchadnezzar, and he just told him. He was scared. He didn't want to tell him. You need to read this and do a study on this sometime. He didn't want to tell him, but he did. He said, boy, you're going to pay for what you've done, and your kingdom's going to get yanked out from underneath you, and this is what happened. He went to a place where they thought he went nuts. He was had to eat grass like cattle, and he grew nails like bird's claws and feathers, and God just kind of said, I am God, you are not. Nebuchadnezzar is put in his place. He has been counted and found wanting. But verse 37, it's just God is so gracious. He restores the king to his place of kingship. Nebuchadnezzar even, he restores him back to his kingdom and gives it all back to him. And a big reason, I think, a big part of it was he humbled himself. He finally said, it is you, God. He finally surrendered. And oftentimes, that's what it takes for us, is we need to come to a place where we surrender, where we quit fighting against God. Say, you are God, I am not. I should have listened to you all along, and I could have avoided a lot of these problems. And that's what happened with Nebuchadnezzar, and now he praises God for it. He says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways just. And he is able to humble those who walk in pride. King Nebuchadnezzar is talking in experiential faith here. He did it. He was grazing like a cow, and God put him in his place. Then God restored him. He is able to humble those who walk in pride. Certainly, King Nebuchadnezzar is a case study of that. There's a little song that I like. The lyrics are by John Paul Moore. I just think it's a nice little song. It kind of puts us, I'm just going to read it to you. It says, I've never made a fortune, and it's probably too late now, but I don't worry about that much. I'm happy anyhow. And as I go along life's way, I'm reaping better than I sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Haven't got a lot of riches, and sometimes the going's tough, but I've got loving ones all around me, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for his blessings and the mercies he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I remember times when things went wrong, my faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe about the tough rows I have hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads. Then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. I like that. In Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." And that's my second point. Another reason to give thanks, for this is God's will for you and for me, not my will. When Jesus gave the disciples, when he taught them how to pray, the Lord's Prayer, and you've probably all said it or heard it one time, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." It doesn't say, "Thy kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will." Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not your kingdom come, bring your kingdom come, my will be done. Huh, God? My will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done. You know what's best for us, God. He's taught us that way, and it's our will to His will for us to be thankful. It seems like such a simple thought, but we miss it all the time. At least I do. "Not my will, but yours be done, Lord." In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful." Be thankful. It's easy to say, and you know, we have this holiday that we set aside, and our government's even set aside this Thanksgiving holiday, and it's a big hyped up thing, but you know, it's more than thank you for the turkey. It's a position that you and I need to humble ourselves and need to learn how to just position ourselves in a thankful position before the Lord. You are God. I am not. Thank you for everything you've given me. In 1 Peter 4, 19, it says, "Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." There again, God's will. As we entrust ourselves to God's will. What is God's will for our life? Be thankful. That's God's will. We need to entrust, and it's not easy. It says also, those who suffer according to God's will. And often in this life, there are things that just are hard. And they are a gift from God. And He uses them to shape our character and our lives. And even all of those things, and maybe even especially those are the things that we need to be thankful for. Lord, thank you for that hard thing. It seems like right around this time of year, my appliances always break down. and it held true to this year. Things just seem to break. I was trying to be thankful today as I was driving to find this appliance that we needed. And I thought, Lord, are you just teaching me this because I have to speak on it tonight? I mean, that's fine, but I just wanted to be, thank you, Lord. Somehow, some way, maybe I can meet the appliance guy, or somehow, some way, you're going to use this to your glory. And I just thank you for it, God. It's from you. There's a quote from Francis Frangipane. Says, "The thankful heart sees the best part of every situation. It sees problems and weaknesses as opportunities, struggles as refining tools, and sinners as saints in progress." That's the lens we need to look through. It's God is doing something here. Every situation is complicated or hard or emotional, it might be. We need to look through that lens. God, what are you doing in this situation? What am I to learn from this? God, I don't want to miss a thing. You show me. I don't want to go through this once. And I want to learn it well. There's so many things that come our way. We need to just look through it through the lens of Christ, through God, seeking His kingdom first and learning from every situation. I like Hebrews Chapter 12, verse 28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. Just the last reason, it is the right response. Why give thanks? It is the right response. It is. We think everything that we have, you know, I earned that, I deserved that, or I absconded it, or I stole it, so now it's mine. No, it's the Lord's, and the right response is, thank you, Lord. This is yours. If you choose to use it for your purposes, well, you just take it. It's not mine. It's yours. It was yours in the first place. It's not mine, whether it's your home, your kids, your family, your friends, whatever it might be. We need to hold on to things loosely because it's all the Lord's. Say, Lord, you do with this as you wish. And oftentimes it's much better than what we could have conjured up because he has a better plan than we can even understand. It is the right response. You know, even our kids, my kids, when they're little, we try to teach them. My grandson's learning how to say please and thank you. And it's something that it's good for us to teach our children. I remember teaching my children that. I'm still trying to teach my children that. My mom's still trying to teach me to do that. And it's so cute when my little grandson says, please, please. Do you want some cracker? Please. Yes. Okay. What do you say? Thank you. All right, man. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Like children, we need to come before a holy God and say, thank you. Please and thank you. I like Psalm 69, verse 30. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. I like this quote from J.I. Packer. It says, we need to discover all over again that worship is natural to the Christian, as it was to the godly Israelites who wrote the Psalms, and that the habit of celebrating the greatness and graciousness of God yields an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. It's a product of our relationship with God. It's just an endless flow of thankfulness, joy, and zeal. I like Psalm 95, 2. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. And it just goes on and on. Psalm 100, 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. I think a good example of a surrender and a thankful, humble position is when we see someone get baptized. It is. It's just because you get, you know, it's not that exciting. You get wet. It is exciting, don't get me wrong, but you just get wet. It's kind of, you know, it's humbling. And I like that position of because that's really what baptism is. It's a symbol of God, the Creator, what he's done in a person's life. He's saved them. He's forgiven their sins. He's come into their life. The Spirit indwells in them. And in just an act of worship and a symbol of our position before God, we allow ourselves to be fully immersed underwater, to be vulnerable, really. What if he holds me under the water? And you go down, it's just a symbol of our old life being washed away by the blood of Christ. He's forgiven us from all the stuff we've done and all the past, present, and future sins. The Bible says they're as far as the east is from the west. Once you come to know the Lord, they're gone. Baptism doesn't wash them away. It's just a symbol. It's the position of the believer. It's one of the good first steps. If you claim to be a believer and you haven't been baptized, I'd say humble yourself and get her done. What are you waiting for? Because it's a beautiful expression of worship before a holy God. I like this verse from 1 Peter. It says, and that water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God. Baptism is really a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's effective because Christ died for sins once for all. It's effective because of Jesus. The salvation message is from Jesus alone, and baptism is just a picture of that. It was fun one time when Caleb got baptized. I don't know if any of you were there. I remember we were up on a mountaintop. That's what I like about our campouts. We oftentimes have baptisms at our yearly campouts. And Caleb got baptized one night when we were there, or one day when we were there on the campout. And it's just, I don't know, it's just such a picture of God, of a man finally humbling himself and saying, you know what, you are God. I want to follow you. I've received your forgiveness. It's a done deal. I understand that you are God and I am not. I want to humble myself and surrender myself in baptism before you, a holy God. I think that's a position of thankfulness that we can grow in. And we need to grow in. We do. We need to grow in that humility that only comes from the Lord. Like what it says in Revelation chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. I like this quote from Henry Ward Beecher. Pride slays thanksgiving, but a humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grow. We need to humble ourselves. I need to work on this. I would guess many of you do too. I like James chapter 4, verses 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Proverbs 22, 4. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. God has a plan for us. He wants us to humbly walk in his plan. Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And this is just a small part of the scripture. The Bible is just full of this idea of our position before a holy God, of humility and a thankful heart. With childlike hearts, we need to come before the Lord. Like this little girl just lifting her arms. We can learn from that. We can learn from children, how they just love the Lord. I love watching little kids worship and try to learn how to sing to God. It's just so innocent and beautiful. And just unrestrained. And many of you, that's how you worship the Lord. I think that honors him. I think he just loves that when he sees our passion for him. In our life, in our worship, our life and even our worship, they fit together. Our life can be worship, how you're living it out, how I'm living it out. We can learn from the Lord. I like this quote from Isaac Walton. It says, God has two dwellings, one in heaven and the other in a meek and thankful heart. It doesn't say weak. Don't get mistaken here. God's not talking about a weak heart. It's just a susceptible, an innocent, a surrendered heart. Not even necessarily innocent, but surrendered, because he washes us clean, a surrendered and thankful heart. And that would be my question to you and to myself as I've gone through this. This is, have you positioned yourself before the Lord with a thankful heart? He is the creator of the universe, the savior of mankind, Lord of lords, King of kings, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He paid the debt we could not pay so that we can live with him for eternity. God did that all for us. The best deal going, Black Friday. Salvation is free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do a bunch of religious calisthenics to get to the Lord. His grace is dumped on us like a bucket of water, like a waterfall. He just wants you to come to him, recognize him, and say, you are God. You are God. You did what you said you were going to do. You died on the cross for my sins. You forgave me. please come into my life. Please forgive me how I've sinned against you. That's the position God wants us to come before him. He did it all. The only sensible response is, I think, thank you, Lord. You've done it all. He has. He's done it all. I'm just going to end with a prayer. Next week, we're going to dig into why church number four, why help the needy. And that'll be a good topic. So invite your friends and families to come to that so we can dig in and see how we are to respond to that, to needy folks. Many of you are needy. I'm needy. How do we respond to each other? How do we live out our faith together? What does that look like? I'm looking forward to that. God's really put it on a lot of our hearts, and the leaders of this church, God's really been, I think, speaking to us and helping us and hopefully leading us into this area and to grow in him. I'm just going to pray, and we'll sing a couple more songs. God, I love you. I just thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Thank you that you died for me, God. Thank you that you rose from the dead. Thank you that you're alive. Thank you that I pray to a living God. Thank you that you're a perfect Father and that you care about each one of us so more than we can really even comprehend. None and no one can snatch us out of your hand. We're in good hands. And I praise you and I thank you for that, Jesus. And I'm looking forward to right now just singing to you. You are a mighty God. You deserve our lives. And I just thank you for all you're doing in our midst. And I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen.